morning, Gold Coast. Great to see you. Okay, first of all, shirt questions. Yes, this is the same shirt as last week. No, I haven't been wearing it all week long. Okay, so you can come do a sniff test later. It's fresh. But why am I wearing this shirt again? Close. Ministry month. There are still a bunch out there, right? All month long, we want to be promoting opportunities to serve here at Gold Coast. Couple reasons that we're doing that. Very practical reason first. Coming out of COVID, a lot of volunteers got out of the habit of volunteering. And you know, it's very hard to start a stone moving, right? So we're cracking the moss off. We're getting the dust off, right? And so we're kind of promoting this because we want to help people get back into the groove of service. But also, from a spiritual perspective, service does incredible things for us as people who follow the Lord, right? Draws us closer to Him, helps us see Him work, inspires people around us, all sorts of stuff. There are great reasons to serve. And so we're trying to highlight the different ministries that we have. We want you guys to be involved. What is our goal for service? Every person in at least one ministry. Does that mean every week? Okay, say, is that mean every week? Come on. No. Okay, it could be once a quarter. Okay, because I know some of you are like, well, you know, if I sign up, I've committed myself forever and all eternity to do that job. No, you haven't. We just want you to try stuff out. So today what I want to do is I want to highlight, take a few minutes to highlight some of our adult ministries. Now, who leads our adult ministries here? Who's kind of like one of the key linchpin people that's involved in a ton of our adult ministries? Daryl. Where's Daryl right now? He's out at the coffee donut table right now. So I need somebody to go run and grab him. And when he comes in that door, I want to give him a giant standing ovation, okay? So until he comes, because he might resist, oh no, I can't come, blah, 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 because I know how Daryl rolls, right? He can't leave his duty, right? Which is amazing, but guys like Daryl need a little more honor, okay? But before he comes in, are any of you involved in our adult ministries? Yes. Yeah, if you are, stand up. I want to see you. Go ahead and stand up, because we're all going to stand up in a second anyway. Let's see, is this... Look at these people. Give Daryl, come here. Here he is. Come here, Daryl. I'm not going to make him say anything. Daryl, we just want to honor you and thank you for all the service that you do for Gold Coast. Thank you. Okay, you can go. All right, and for all of you that volunteer in our adult ministries, thank you so much. We cannot do what we do without you. Now, I grabbed some cards off of our wire racks because we still have a lot of cards. We had 50 cards signed up for last week, which is amazing. Yeah, it's cool. But I grabbed a few cards from adult ministries just to kind of give you an idea of some of the stuff that we need you to do. We need somebody to pick up our road signs after service on Sunday. Does that sound like it's a hard job? No, but you know how important that is? That's really critical. We need people to do that. You could do that one Sunday a month, once a quarter, whatever. We need folks who'd be willing to run the espresso coffee cart, right? Come here a little early, get it set up, fill it with water, and then teach people how to use it. Anybody like coffee? Anybody like espresso? Yeah. So, I mean, go ahead and help yourself to an espresso while you set the cart up. What about facilities? Maybe some of you are like, you know what? I don't like dealing with people. Okay? I love them from a distance. Okay? Facilities might be the job for you. We need people to help us do touch-up painting, repair lighting, plumbing, fix all sorts of stuff, right? Maybe you have that in your wheelhouse. Here are a couple big ones. We are really committed when new people show up to bringing them into the family of Gold Coast. because that's one of our core values, right? Is the idea of family. And so what we need is a section host or several section hosts. What's a section host, you say? We got these groups of chairs here, right? That's a section. Guess what? You usually sit in the same section week after week after week, right? In fact, some of you have your favorite chair. And when somebody sits in your chair and you show up, you don't feel very loving and you need more church, right? Okay, so look, some of you sit there though. What a section host does is just gets to know the people around them. You know, this is the opposite of the facilities person who doesn't like people. The section host loves people, right? And all we want you to do is get to know the people in your section, make friendships, befriend them. We think the sky's the limit with this. What if a section did breakfast one morning before church all together because they knew each other and had built relationship with each other? It's almost like an additional way of doing a life group, but just with different group of people, right? That's pretty cool. And so section hosts will see those new folks, engage them, and introduce them to some of the other people in their section. Or we have something we call an engager. This person wanders the lobby on Sunday morning, goes out to the donut area in the hallway, they're in the patio. You're looking for people you don't know and striking up conversations with them. Just having conversations, right? And then what we want you to do is if you know enough people, you can pass them off to somebody else that they could have a conversation with, right? So somebody shows up and I go, oh, you work as a civilian contractor for the Navy on base? You need to meet Mike Chavez because he does the same thing. And you go and put them together, right? Or, oh, you're in the construction industry, you know, trade experience? Come meet the Wanderers, right? John here knows a little thing or two about construction. So we need that. And then here's another one, last one, group prayer coordinator. Lead a team praying over our missions once a month on Sunday morning before first service. See, these are just a sample of cards I grabbed off that cover every kind of area, with people, without people, kind of formal ministry, informal, all sorts of stuff. We have so many needs. So I want to encourage you to get a card, if you don't have a card, so you can get a shirt. And we can know that we're all together in this. By the way, talking about our shirts real quick, you'll notice that we have our logo here, but it doesn't say church on it, right? Right? Was that an accident? That was by design. Why is that? There are some places where people hate the name of Jesus, and they will be instantly turned off by you if they see church on your shirt. But, you know, these awesome values we have on our back here, that can stimulate conversation, that can get past barriers to people before they run into the barrier of church. Because remember, we're not bringing people to church, we're bringing them to Jesus first, right? Jesus doesn't say, go make disciples of all nations and make sure to invite them to first service on Sunday morning. He says, go make disciples of all nations, period, right? Introduce them to me, baptize them, teach them to obey everything. In the process, they're going to end up at church. But don't make church first, make Jesus first. And so that's why we don't have church on our shirt, right? Because we want all avenues to be open for you to be able to share Jesus. Okay, mini sermon done. So we're going to have a little discussion today, another conversation about service. Scott did this last week talking about Jesus as the ultimate, the true servant. I'm going to kind of continue on, not necessarily talking about Jesus, but instead kind of today more some of the secrets to service. What's involved in service? How does that go about? And so we've got three different passages that we're going to look at. So you're going to definitely need a Bible. I've got our ushers over here. Randy's over here. If you want to see the text with your own two eyes, hold it in your hand. He can get a Bible to you, so pop your hand up. If you don't want to do that, you have a phone app or something like that, go ahead and open your phone app to the scripture. Only time I'm going to tell you it's okay to open your phone in church. So take advantage of it. Also, please set those phones to stun, because we all have wild, crazy ringtones, don't we? So today what we're going to see, three kind of basic questions I gave you for your outline, for those of you who like to follow and have notes. How does Jesus send us to serve? How does he do it? It's a certain kind of way that he sends us to serve. Second question, what does Jesus want us to realize when we serve? What should we understand? What kind of aha moment should we have when we're serving? And then the third question, what is the secret of service. I think there's a real surprising secret to service here that we're going to see at the very, very end. So our first passage that we're going to be looking at actually addresses our first question. How does Jesus send us to serve? This is the classic passage, Matthew 28, verse 18, right? It's the Great Commission passage. I want you all to turn there for a second. So it's the end of Matthew, the very last chapter. Matthew's in the New Testament. If you don't know where that is, you can use your table of contents. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Okay, I'm reading from the ESV. Here's what Jesus says. So this is at the very end, right? Jesus has risen. He's appeared to his disciples. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Very interesting here. What does Jesus say he has been given? Authority, right? He's been given authority. How much authority? All authority. Every last single drop. When Jesus says all, he means all. Not half, not three quarters, not 99%. He means 100% of authority in heaven, the spiritual realm, and on earth, the physical realm, has been given to him. And then what does he immediately do? He says, because I have this authority, you therefore go. Now, if you are acting because the authority of Jesus sent you out, aren't you acting with authority? Just process that for a second. That when we go out in the world to promote the kingdom of God, we are operating under the authority of Jesus. Now let's bring this to the idea of service. Because does service promote the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Thank you. Yes, it does. Service promotes the kingdom of God. It promotes the authority, the kingdom, the kingship of Jesus. Service to others furthers God's kingdom because it speaks to a hope deeper and more profound than the cruel world in which we live. It speaks to the righting of wrongs, the mending of the broken, setting the crooked straight. Service speaks to incredible joy when the universe is healed from the corrosive effects of evil. When we serve, we are saying, God's kingdom rules, and one day everything that's broken will be undone. And when you serve, you get a chance to promote that. Very interesting. In Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, there's a scene in the courtroom after Dmitri has been arrested, okay? And he's been arrested for the murder of his father. He's so exhausted after the preliminary kind of trial that he falls asleep on a bench. And when he awakens, he finds that somebody placed a pillow under his head. He doesn't know who has done it, but he is elated. It is a sign in his eyes of the goodness of life. He has an almost ecstatic gratitude. And Dostoevsky writes that he speaks with a strange voice and a new light as of joy in his face. He's going to go to prison, he says, but he's going to keep God's name alive there because he knows that God is in the world. The nameless, selfless act of someone who did him a small kindness is a guarantee of that. And what Dostoevsky is hinting at in his famous novel is that when we serve, we're bringing light to the world and saying there is a true and perfect king and he reigns, not the evil prince. Right? And you are breaking the darkness when you do small kindnesses. What is a small kindness? When you change a dirty diaper in children's ministry on Sunday morning so that a parent can be here, and you're sacrificing yourself for that, you're operating under the authority of Jesus to change that diaper. When you take out a road sign, you're operating under the authority of Jesus. When you set up donuts, do you have the mentality, Jesus has commissioned me to set up the maple glaze this morning. Right? And the coffee, because we got to have the coffee. Okay? Do you have that mindset that when you do service, Jesus himself has authorized you, commissioned you, given you the authority to do that little tiny thing, like wipe down a table after lunch on a Sunday morning, or take a dinner to a neighbor who's sick, mow their yard, right? What does Jesus, how does he send us to serve? He sends us with his authority. When you buy lunch for a coworker, when you dog sit, when you give of yourself, you're operating under the authority and the power and the splendor of the King of the universe. And we have to keep that in mind every time we serve. And guess what? I got to tell you, I don't do that. I get into a groove where I go, oh, I've done this before. I know how to do this. Right? And I don't even ask the Lord, right? I'm not even thinking about his authority. I'm just like, yeah, I'm doing it. But what if we all stopped every time we served, before we went to serve, we caught ourselves and we said, Jesus has sent me. He has all authority, and I am now acting with his authority whenever I fold this tablecloth, play bass guitar, open up the church, close the church, help with communion, whatever it is, inside the church or out of the church, if every act of service we did was with the realization that the authority of the King is upon me, would that change how we do service? Yeah. How does Jesus send us to serve? With incredible authority. I hope you own that and you live that, because that's transformative. Now, second question. That's how he sends us to serve. What does he want us to realize when we serve? We're going to hang out in the Gospel of Luke for this question and for the next question. So if you want, you can turn there now. This is going to be first in Luke 9. So if you're in Matthew, you go Matthew, Mark. Mark's short, 16 chapters. Luke. So just skip over Mark, go to Luke, and we want you in Luke 9. And I want you to see verses 10 through 20. Pretty famous story here where Jesus feeds a whole bunch of people. You know, we know this happened in Palestine, so that's why loaves and fish were involved. But I know that if it was in Texas, it would have been brisket that he made. Which I would be like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. Jesus, we have 12 baskets of briskets left and 200 jugs of barbecue sauce. Woohoo! Okay, so Luke 9, verses 10 through 20. We're going to look first at 10 through 17, and then we'll look at the next verses after that. Okay, verse 10. On their return, so Jesus had sent out the apostles to do ministry, to do work, to proclaim his kingdom, to do all this stuff. So they come back on their return. They told him everything they'd done, and he took them, and he withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned this, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came, and they said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and the countryside to find lodging and to get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. They're basically saying, we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the wilderness. If you don't send these people away now, people are going to be stuck out here in the dark all night, or maybe wandering home in the dark. That's not good. Remember, this is pre-electricity. Hard for us to imagine that, but yeah. So he says, well, you give them something to eat. Jesus says that to them. And they said, well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we're to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so. And they had him sit down, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Pretty interesting. What's going on here? I think, first of all, one of the things we need to realize is that not only does Jesus send us with his authority, but oftentimes, maybe even every single time, he's going to give us ministries that we can't do under our own power. Because the disciples come to him and they're like, hey, there's 5,000 men here, probably 5,000 women and a whole bunch of children. There's a lot of people here and they don't have any food. So send them away. And what does Jesus say? You give them something to eat. Excuse me, Jesus? I'm sure I didn't hear you right. You give them something to eat. Now the disciples, what do? They put their heads together. Well, what do we have? I got 5 loaves over here, 2 fish here. Jesus, this is all we got. But we could go buy lunch for everybody. Tacos, fish tacos. Okay? Did you catch that? They said, well, you know, unless you want us to buy something for everybody. Jesus, one of the things he does is he gives us ministries that really we have no business fulfilling under our own power or under our own authority, right? Jesus gives us ministries to help us realize that we need his power. It's one of the things he wants us to realize. We need his power. Now, here's the crazy thing. When you're changing that diaper back in children's ministry, or you're setting up a donut, or you're taking somebody out to lunch, we don't think those things need Jesus's power. We think, I got that, Jesus. I know how to set up donuts. I know how to put out communion or change a diaper or take somebody to lunch or mow a yard. I can do that. And then there's bigger things we think, oh, okay, well, I can't do that. Jesus gave me an impossible task, right? But the truth is, no matter what your ministry is, you can't do it under your own power. And if you think you can, you've fallen into a trap of the enemy. We need Jesus' power for every ministry that we do. For every single thing we do, no matter how great or how small. And what the beauty of Jesus is that he gives us all those different kind of opportunities to help us realize that. That's why he gives the disciples this task. He wants them to realize they need him. But it's so hard for us, right? It's so hard for us to realize that I need Jesus to do stuff I've been doing. And look at what the disciples do. He says, you feed them, and their first response is not to throw themselves at his feet and say, God, we can't do this. Their first response is, well, we got fish, that's a natural solution, or we can go buy lunch, that's a natural solution. Money solves all the world's problems, right? All we need is money, and we can solve it. Isn't that the way we work? Isn't that kind of our default? We just think, oh, if I just had a little more money, I could solve this problem. The disciples are so like us. Here they have the king of the world who has all authority. And they go, well, do you want us to buy lunch? They're missing the point. He's going to give us ministry that we cannot do so that we realize we need him. Big tasks, much easier to see that. Small tasks, very hard. Do you think you need Jesus to change a diaper, to set up a sign, to mow a yard? Every time you do ministry, before you play a single note back here doing worship, or draw a single graphic for a slide, or whatever ministry team you're a part of, before you do anything, the first thought I want you to have is, Jesus, I need your power to do this. If I think for 1 minute that I got this, I don't got this. Then it's out of my power and not out of the king's power, and people don't get drawn to the king. Right? Now, here's something really beautiful that happens. Let's look at the next 3 verses in 18, 19, and 20. This is after they fed everybody. Now it happens that he was praying alone, and the disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others, the one of the prophets of old, has risen. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. I believe that Luke included that little tag on there to the end of this story because it was in the feeding of the 5,000 that Peter saw Jesus for who Jesus was. And when you go into ministry and you serve with a mindset that says, I need Christ, no matter how big or how small, when you have that mindset, I guarantee you that you will see Jesus too. He will work supernatural works through you in your ministry to transform lives for the promotion of his kingdom. Do you believe that? That is exciting. And to the extent that you see it, to the extent you see your need for him in your ministry and in your service, is the extent to which you will have this depth of knowledge of who Christ is. The more that you serve with an awareness that you need Christ, the greater your faith will grow. Anybody want more faith? Serve with more of an attitude that says, I got to have Jesus. Anybody want to know God more? Yeah, serve with an attitude that says, Jesus has got to be here to do this work. Because when you serve that way, he will reveal more of himself to you. Scales will fall off your eyes, and you're going to be like Peter. You're the Christ of God. I see you work. It was awesome. Thursday night, Young Life did a banquet here. I can't even believe that they got everything cleaned up. That's amazing, right? You should have seen this place. And Alex told a story, and I'm not going to tell his whole story. I'm just going to tell a small snippet. He told a story about the very first banquet Young Life held in Oxnard. And the day of the banquet, the place where they were going to host it burned. Yeah, oh. And what are they going to do? Well, long story short, God provided a new venue. Oh, by the way, God also provided more people than they expected to show up. I think he said 30 to 40 more people. And the chef was freaking out because he didn't make that much food. And Alex, the way he told the story, is like, God, what are you doing? God's going to provide. God, we need you. And he says that somehow everybody made it through the line. People came back for seconds, and they still had enough food. Alex had an incredible experience because he was dependent. Jesus put him in a spot where he had to depend on him to do this banquet. If you go ask Alex after this service, Alex, did that grow your relationship with God? Did that deepen your knowledge of who he is? Were you drawn closer to him? Guess what he's going to say? Absolutely. Because that's how God works when we see that we need him. All right, you tracking with me? So, what is the secret then to service? Our last question. And for this, we're going to have another passage right next door, Luke 10. Go ahead and turn to Luke 10. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20 here. So, a little backstory here before we get to those verses. Jesus, again, sends out his disciples into the nation to tell of the kingdom of God. So they go into the surrounding towns and villages. He gives them authority. They do their jobs, and they come back, and they're like, Jesus, it was amazing. You wouldn't believe what happened. Even demons respond to us. And he has some words for them. So let's see what he says here. Luke 10, 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What is the secret to service? The secret to service is that there is great danger in ministry. There's great danger in ministry. So the disciples have this authority. They go out, and guess what happens? Amazing things happen. They're proclaiming the name of Jesus. They're probably healing people. They're casting out spirits. They're doing all sorts of acts of ministry. And they come back. And what is the first thing they say? Even the spirits respond to us in your name. They're pumped about it. This text says they come back with joy. What does Jesus say to them? Wrong thing to be excited about. What? But God, you've seen The Exorcist. That was pretty amazing, and you've empowered us to do that kind of stuff. Shouldn't we be pumped about that? No. Wrong reason to have joy. Wrong thing to be excited about. What he's saying is, don't think that service is all there is, or that's where it's at, or to think that that should be a source of your identity. Instead, he says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, one of the things that happens to us when we serve is that service can become part of an identity that we form. And what Jesus is saying is, look, you are not the service. That's not who you are. Don't get excited about the service. Instead, be excited about the Savior. Now, this is contrary to the logic of the world. Mahatma Gandhi said this: the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Now, our world hears that, and they go, oh, that is profound wisdom. They say, that is deep. Now, the danger of this is there is kind of a little truth in this, right? Because we are commanded to serve, but you don't find yourself in service. How do you find yourself? In Christ alone. That's the only way to find yourself, because only He knows who you truly are meant to be. You can never find yourself through serving others. In the Hindu Times, the Times of India, quoting Gandhi there, an author wrote this. She says that community service helps us to realize the core values of passion, hard work, and commitment. When a person feels his actions bring about the good of others and result in relieving even a little of widespread human suffering, he or she becomes conscious of the true sense of achievement and its realization. This is the highest involvement, which leads to the greatest achievement, followed by happiness, satisfaction, and peace everywhere. Can I tell you something? There won't be peace everywhere until Christ walks this earth again. Service merely echoes what Christ will bring about. It's not a way to find yourself. So when I'm encouraging you to get involved in service, to do things, I want you to do so with the caveat that you absolutely do not find your identity in what you do. Because you are more than that. You are a child of God, a member of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ reigns in your life, and He's who you should find your identity in. So by all means, serve, but beware the danger. And only rejoice because your name is written in heaven, not because of anything that you do. That's hard for us to get our heads around. So how can you kind of incorporate these realizations and operate with His authority and see that you can't do anything without Him and find identity in Him? How can you possibly do that? You know, Philippians gives us the key, right? Philippians chapter 2 tells us what Jesus went through. Let me just turn there and read this to you real quick. Some of you are very familiar with this, but I love to hear it because it's so powerful. So here's Jesus, God made flesh. And He did not, even though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you see that Jesus became low and became a servant so that you could be brought in and actually lifted up, when you see that, then and only then can you begin to serve in the ways that I'm talking about. With the authority of Christ, seeing that you have an absolute need for Him. If you don't see that Christ had everything and gave it all up to bring you into the family, if you don't see that, you cannot serve the way I'm talking about. You only hear my words as if I'm talking about natural kind of service, just finding the gumption within yourself and doing it a little bit better. And that is not what I'm talking about. If you don't know Christ risen, you can't serve the way I'm talking about. But if you do know him and the extent to which you see that he sacrificed everything for you, then you can serve in the way I'm talking about to the extent it will magnify 10, 20, 30, 50 times over. This is the gospel. Gospel, life, and everything. That's my prayer for us. I want to have us go into our time of communion. And I want you to take communion today with a mindset that says, Jesus, the only reason I can take communion is because you served first. And Jesus didn't serve under his own power. He served under the power and authority of the Father. So that when you serve, you can serve under his power and authority. Because you know what? The Father sent the Son. The Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit sends us in his name. So I want you to take communion today with a mind towards service, that Jesus served us on the cross. And when you take communion, you're saying, I want to serve others powerfully, with authority, in the name of Christ. Everything I do, I want to be powerfully done, trusting and relying on his power. Would you do that with me today? And if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you right now today, at this moment, to go to God in prayer and say, Jesus, I don't know you, and I want to know you so that I can live the way Lewis is talking about. I'd love for you to be the first time you take communion today knowing who Jesus is. Let me pray for this. Jesus, we thank you for your blood and your body that you gave to us in an act of service. You had the highest highs and became a servant of all through your sacrifice. Because the Father raised you up, you conquered Satan, sin, and death. And now we can go out into the world in your power and in your name. And I would pray we would live that out for every single little thing we do, great or small, that we would live as if it's your power that's doing it. Help us to know you more, to be inspired by you, to see you as the Christ of God. In your name we pray. Amen.